We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College football news. The great Pete Futek joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, are you here to sell a fight that Michigan State has a chance against Ohio State this weekend?
To do what?
To like beat them, keep it close,
cover the 27.
To show to get off the bus. To, you know what are they? I mean, yeah, you know they keep it close. I mean, there's still talent there. There's still a system in place, and they should be able to at least do something right. I mean, last year was just performance art. That first half. I mean, find me a better first half in a relatively big game than C.J. Stroud and the Ohio State offense had against Michigan State. That was amazing. I don't think that's going to happen again. But Michigan State's just not playing well. Look, the whole idea of fixing the glitch in the secondary from the nation's worst pass defense, well, that didn't happen. The running game hasn't gotten going, and it's just been a rough run so far. So, you know, look, you know, Ohio State hasn't really, outside of the win over Notre Dame, hasn't, you know, had to really extend itself too much, and I don't think they're going to have to do that this week either.
You think there are Michigan State fans that are regretting that long-term extension with Coach Tucker?
I cannot stress enough. I don't know why athletic directors feel this need to put together these massive deals with these massive contracts with all this guaranteed money. It makes no sense. It's an agent's trick, and they fall for it every single time. Because, look, the whole idea of, oh, we're promoting stability. No, you're not, because if your team stinks, the fans are going to want to get rid of the guy, and you're going to be stuck with a lot of bad paper. And if the guy's great, you're either going to renegotiate and pay that extra amount of salary down the line, or the guy's going to move on to something different, and the agent's going to figure out the buyout clause. So there's just not any reason to lock in a coach if you don't have to. It's early. You know, Tucker's going to need a while to build this thing up and everything, and, you know, this all flips if he beats Michigan, then all the alumni are happy. But, yeah, I mean, all these coaches, it just doesn't make any sense to tie them in, to lock yourself into these ridiculously long-term deals.
Pete, can you rank these three Big Ten teams for me? Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
Right in that order, I'd say. Ohio State's at another level right now, and until it proves otherwise, I mean, it's playing better than anybody in the country. Michigan's fine. They're slow and steady. They're actually better than they were last year in a lot of ways. You're not going to see any, you know, crazy blowout wins. But it's kind of been lost in the shuffle now that, look, they just reloaded. You know, they just, the whole idea was, well, last year was the culmination. They built to this point, and they had this big year. And now they're still undefeated. They haven't played a slew of tough teams yet. Iowa and Maryland's just not great, and they're still going to have to prove themselves. But look, you know, remember, it wasn't all that long ago when the idea of Michigan, you know, being in, you know, mid-October where they're undefeated. Oh my gosh, what's happening? This is crazy. That was not Michigan for the longest time. And now they're just back here. It's Penn State's very, very, very good. They've got a lot of young talent. I'm not there that they're that much better than Michigan right now. And so, again, Ohio State's at a big drop than Michigan and Penn State.
Pete, I want to ask you about the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, they drop a spot this week in the poll after, you know, going on the road to Missouri and nearly losing that game. It was their first kind of nearly trip up of the season for the Bulldogs. What did you make of that game? They couldn't do anything against Missouri.
Yeah, it seems like they're in a lull. It just seems like they've sort of, let's see what they can start to do this week going forward, because that's two straight weeks. I mean, they really weren't pressured by Kent State. It just, the score just didn't get out of hand. And you kind of knew that they were going to eventually rise up against Missouri. I mean, Missouri did everything right and still lost. I mean, I know we're supposed to expect massive blowouts by these great teams, but every once in a while, you know, you have to kind of remember that the other team did everything perfect and it still lost. So there's something about being a great team where, you know, sort of the Alabama system was, and even us, where even if you don't have a game, you still find a way to win and you keep moving on. So just because they're not annihilating teams, they're not there yet. I mean, that win over Oregon, I mean, look what Oregon's doing now. Oregon's probably the best team in the Pac-12 or close to it. And or you could make a reasonable case that, you know, Oregon's one of the top five teams in the country the way it's been playing in terms of talent, in terms of everything else. And they couldn't do anything in that game against Georgia right out of the gate. So it'll come back. But this goes to an overarching thing that I think we have to remember going forward is that, remember, the college football playoffs never taken the team with two losses. Georgia's got a nasty bunch of games coming up. Alabama's got a murderer's row of games coming up. I don't think either one of them gets through their regular season schedule clean. And so let's say they get to the SEC championship at 12-1 each. This assumption that, okay, well, who's going to be in the college football playoff? Okay, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. Well, it's probably going to happen where the college football playoff's going to have to make the because it's Alabama exception or something like that and change up what it's been doing all along and put a two-loss team in, because neither one of these teams look like they're going to get through their regular season clean.
Pete Futek of College Football News with Dustin and Nick on Afternoon Drive, breaking down a huge weekend in college football. Kentucky might be without, or rather, Kentucky's starting quarterback is questionable for their matchup against South Carolina. If Levis can't go, can the Gamecocks knock off Kentucky this weekend?
Kentucky's just, they continue to be weird. I mean, they've got Chris Rodriguez, their great running back, back, and he was pretty good last week. But they're not running it all that well. The problem is Spencer, you want to talk about craziness, Spencer Rattler, in terms of pure arm talent and NFL skills, I like him better than Billy Blue Jeans. I mean, Rattler's got this arm that's just otherworldly, but he's throwing a gajillion picks. And so, yeah, South Carolina's got the makeup to do it. They've got the running game. The problem is they're just getting killed by too many interceptions, and their defensive line isn't doing enough. So even if Levis is out, it's going to be hard for South Carolina just because they're going to be able to grind the ball enough and win ugly like Kentucky always does.
Pete, the Wisconsin job opens up this week. Jim Leonard, the interim head coach now, defensive coordinator, is it his job to lose?
How could it not be? I mean, the part of the thing is, if you're going to fire Paul Chryst then, and if you're going to give up $11 million, it's turning into a lost season, but you're still talking about a guy who won nine games or more every year, but the COVID year where he didn't have nine games, and 72% of his wins at Wisconsin. Look, I was there back in the day when I was at Wisconsin. No joke, there are 104 teams in college football, and in the Sagarin rankings, Wisconsin was 107th. So the idea of getting rid of a head coach who won that much, so it's just the trajectory is not going up. And also that also says that, you know, that Nebraska, maybe even Georgia Tech, they're pinging for Jim Leonard as their next head coach, because he was a hot commodity to begin with. And I kind of think this was the timing was right when you come up with two rushing yards and an embarrassing loss to Brett Bielema in that game like that, and the trajectory of the season going down. If you're going to do it now and make sure you lock in Leonard. I would be shocked if it's not him.
I felt like Paul Chryst was on. I know he was said to be, blindsided by this, but like it felt like he was on watch for a week. Like all the other coaches, like Scott Frost, that got fired. All these other coaches have been fired. Have been kind of the coaches on watch. Are there any coaches now that we're a couple games into the regular season that should be on watch as we get to kind of prime coach firing season?
Yeah, so if you're talking about who's the guy who really can't afford another loss, it's Scott Satterfield at Louisville is probably the next one, but it's probably not the big giant name that you're looking for. David Shaw at Stanford. At some point, it's going to be, hey, this isn't working quite right. I still am kind of waiting to see why Mac Brown is as locked in as he is. They're not winning. You know, the Flemstead is Mack Brown and Herm Edwards were both sort of the same kind of a little bit off the radar hire, older guy. You're not going to necessarily build around these guys, but they're great head coaches who know what they're doing. They had roughly the same record. And Carolina's just not winning. And in an ACC where it's there for the taking, you have Clemson, and that's kind of about it. This should be when North Carolina's hitting its stride, and it's just not doing it.
Pete, how concerned should Bama fans be about the Bryce Young injury?
Enough to think that it's a problem for the rest of their season. Because if you look at their schedule going forward, it starts with Texas A&M. They still haven't dealt with LSU or Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Tennessee or Auburn, even though Auburn's not very good, and keep on going with that brutal schedule. Alabama's better than everyone else on its schedule, but that culmination of hits that they're going to take is just the body blows are going to add up. And if you don't have him, Bryce Young, for a while, look, he saved the day against Texas. He got them out to that big lead against Arkansas. That is a major problem when you lose a guy who, in an MVP sort of way, was really sort of directing and carrying that offense and giving them that veteran presence. So I think you're a lot worried if it's just a sprained shoulder and he's had this before and he gets past it and all that, those talking points. I know Jalen Milroe looked great in that fourth quarter against Arkansas. He's still a freshman and he still didn't throw all that well. So it's a problem if they lose him for any stretch.
Pete, Dustin was just up close for the Lance Leipold Express. So
yeah.
I'll ask you, number 19, Kansas, 5-0. Number 17, TCU, 4-0. It's in Lawrence, Kansas. Where are you going on this game?
It's muscle memory. You know, I can't. It's not in my DNA to pick against Alabama, and it is not in my DNA to pick Kansas. I'm still going TCU. TCU is kind of underappreciated right now. They've been quietly dominant. Kansas, they threw us a curveball. We kind of knew what they were doing. Okay, great offense. Defense is going to be awful. They're going to get in these shootouts. And what do? 14-11 against Iowa State, where they lose that game if the Cyclone kicker is able to hit it straight a couple times. But, hey, that's how the games are played. Leipold's brilliant. I have touted this guy. I mean, it's lower level, but he was something insane, like 109-6 with, like, five national championships at Wisconsin-Whitewater. He was he's brilliant at Buffalo. And dear God, he's got Kansas 5-0. I mean, like, who does that? He's going to be the hot name for all these places. He's a hot name for Wisconsin if it's not Jim Leonard. And he fits in perfectly there. He fits in perfectly at Nebraska. He fits in a lot of places where a lot of places are going to say, look, if you can turn Kansas into a winner, then you can do this just about anywhere else. He's one of those NASCAR type coaches where if everything was even on all sides and you said, who's the coach who can take this car and win with it? It's probably Leipold.
Pete, enjoy another great weekend of college football, buddy. Another great interview by you. We appreciate you, man.
Anytime, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. It's so funny, Dustin, because we've talked just constantly about the Guardians and how they're not supposed to be here and how it's they're kind of the Cinderella team. Well, nothing's more Cinderella than a guy who we didn't know if he could complete a full season is the manager that gets the Cinderella team to the playoffs.
It's incredible. I mean, the guy is – I mean, how old is he now? 50 what?
He's like, I think 62, 63.
62?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's put some mileage on the car, buddy.
Yeah, he has. I mean, listen, the last couple of years, certainly with his health issues, he's aged a little bit. But he still is young, like, in the way that he talks and interacts with his team. Like, I hope the guy coaches for at least a few more years. I don't know that he will, but – I mean, goodness, wouldn't it be like the Guardians, I think at some point are going to win a title. I just want them to win a title with Tito.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you say that because I was looking back at managerial records and managerial playoff records. Tito already has the most franchise wins in regular season. I can't remember who's second, although Grover's up there. Grover's got like 700. Oh, it's Lou Boudreau. There are three Guardians managers, Cleveland baseball managers, to eclipse 700 wins. It's Hargrove at 721, Boudreau at 728. And Tito has 845 wins in Cleveland. Hmm. But what's interesting is He's still behind Grover in the playoffs because Grover has something like 27 playoff wins. Tito has 12. Listen, in a perfect world, Mike Hargrove would have been the guy that won the World Series with this organization 20 years ago because he was the human rain delay and he was a fan favorite and he played in an era where, you know, only diehards came out, and even then, they didn't come out all the time. If Grover's not coming back, I want a ring for Tito. I just do. What he's done for Cleveland baseball, and it's funny because, you know, every conversation with the Guardians in town turns into negatives. If you talk, I mean, we even got into it earlier about, you know, is a wild card round win, is that enough to get you back on the scene for this team? And the reality is, that's every conversation. Like, if the morning show, they've done a great job at talking about Guardians, but inevitably every conversation has ended with, well, what about the Dolans? Or what about the name change? And yep. By the way, not a criticism, not intended at all as a criticism of those guys, because it's a valid conversation, because that is the response that you get. And I want the Guardians to win a World Series because I think it would shut up a lot of the negativity around the team. And you mentioned it, man. Tito being the first Guardians manager to win a World Series since Lou Boudreau, I think would just be – he's already a Hall of Famer. That's no question.
Like Tito will get a statue, right, at some point?
I mean, if you break this curse on top of breaking the Red Sox curse – he might be the first manager to get a statue in two different places. Like,
two,
I think he,
two different
I,
parks.
If they don't put one out on Yawkey Way in Boston, they can go frig straight off. He's so much more of that success than even Pedro or Manny or Schilling, because he was there in both years, where not everybody who won in 04 was in 07. But here, yeah, if you're the first manager. If you're the first manager to win a World Series in, what is that, 75 years? Math is really tough for me. Yeah, 75
math
years.
Math is hard.
If they won it this year, it'd be 75 years since the, or 74 years since the 48 team won it. So if you break that drought, and oh, by the way, you're the regular season wins leader, to win, you would have to become the playoff win leader managerial all time as well. Yes, I would want a statue for Tito, especially if he gets to go out with a ring, you know?
Yeah, no question. And I think he has certainly earned it. He deserves it. And for anybody, you know, to look at Tito, not just be so appreciative of what he has done for Cleveland, is just, it's remarkable. We're lucky to have the guy.
I don't feel like I see as much now. Like, probably about right after that, like, 2017, 2018 run petered out, there was a lot of Tito criticism as part of Cleveland baseball Twitter. Like, a lot. Like where I would get into screaming matches on Twitter with people that I consider personal friends because they would just take shots at Tito. And while I'm sure that's still there, it's become almost exclusively about the Dolans. And I think most Cleveland baseball fans have kind of turned the corner on Tito, because it's just impossible to deny. It is. They have not been in the playoffs every year under Tito, but I can't remember the stat. It was some ridiculous amount of games where they had only been out of the playoff hunt, like maybe 13 games, 23 games, somewhere in between there, in the entirety of Tito's run here. So even the years that they didn't make the playoffs, they were still in it till the end. Or they were still in, whether it's the wild card or the Central Division picture, and they weren't eliminated till the end. I think at some point that has to be, and I know the Guardians organization loves Tito. I know that they prop him up as much as possible, and Antonetti and Chernoff make it a great job of saying how big of a part Tito is of the success here and reinforcing that. But I think at some point, like, I don't even think it's a conversation anymore. Tito's the best manager, coach, whatever, in the last 30 years in Cleveland. And I don't, yep. Like, all due respect to Ty Lue, who won the title, all due respect to Mike Brown and the run that they had, all due respect to Grover, even, Charlie Manuel, who I think was even better of a manager, or sorry, more successful in Philadelphia than in Cleveland. Like, Tito is what he's accomplished in baseball during ridiculous economic times with an ownership that has hamstrung the organization financially. What he's done is, I mean, it's revelatory.
That's a big word, Nick.
Were you Googling revelatory?
Yeah, I actually was.
Let's go with Nelson. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got?
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up, Nell?
I know you're up against it, man, but I just want to say, man, we're lucky to have this dude as the manager of the Cleveland baseball team, right? And I would say, and I don't know if you guys would agree, but by the time it's all said and done, I think the dude deserves Hall of Fame consideration. I know that that's high praise, but especially if he wins one with the Guardians. So thanks for the time, boys.
Thanks, buddy. I don't even think it's a question. I think Tito is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
it's just how much are people going to remember of his time in Cleveland and how much in Boston. Right now, he'll be remembered as the Red Sox manager, even though he's coached here longer, even though I believe he has more wins here than he does there, although you can fact check me on that. By the way, somebody on Twitter, sorry if I forgot your name, 19 games was the amount of time they've spent out of contention in 10 years with Terry as skipper. But if he wins, I think winning a World Series here would go a long way, one, towards erasing some of the negativity in town. And I do think he wins a title. If he wins a title this year, just put it up there. It's now, in terms of who we judge managers and coaches on going forward in all sports, it'll be Terry Francona if he wins a World Series with this team. I mean, I'm talking about with this year's team.
No doubt. Yeah.
216.
This would be the most unpredictable, surprising world championship ever, right? I mean, who would have thought that Cleveland could be in the mix this year? I mean, listen, they still have a long way to go, but they've already exceeded expectations by a mile. And now, if they get through this series and then the Yankees next, I don't know, man. It's got a special type of feeling to it. With this club.
So I'm going to throw out what you threw out to me. If the Guardians win a World Series with Terry Francona, is that statue good? Is that how good we're kind of pointing towards with the later part of Tito's era here?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.